Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. The title of my message this morning is Tested in the Church. Tested in the Church. Deuteronomy 13, 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him, keep His commandments, obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. The testing that we see here in this passage is from the Lord God. And it's very clear in verse 3, for the Lord your God is testing you. We must always have this in our perspective, that our God is a testing God. The God of the Bible, the Christian God, is a testing God. We must have this in our perspective. Psalm 66:10. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. In Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tests the hearts. The Lord tests the hearts. God will test His people. Don't forget this. This is how we can make sense of the strange, the unusual circumstances and situations that we face in life. Situations that cause grief, situations that cause turmoil, situations that are unexplainable, that cause us much pain. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. The question is often asked, how does an all-powerful, all-loving God allow His children to go through something as such as this? A furnace of affliction. And the simple answer, the answer is absolutely simple when we know that our God is a testing God. A testing God. In James 1:12, James says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. That is the NIV translation. Our lives are full of tests. Over and over again, God tested the Israelites under the Old Covenant, and He is doing the same under the New Covenant. Why testing? Why would God Jehovah test His people? One word. One word answer. Approval. Approval. Approval before the judgment seat of Christ. Our lives are either going to be found on that day to be approved or disapproved. When Christ appears to raise the living and the dead, and to judge the world in Acts 17:31 in righteousness, our lives will stand before Him. What we did in this body, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10. The word test in James 1:12 can also be translated when He has been approved. One does not get approved until he is first tested. Very important to remember this morning. One does not get approved until he is first tested. First is the testing. In Romans 16:10, I like how the NIV translates this. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Tested and approved in Christ. And James says the crown of life is received because a Christian has stood the test. He gets the crown of life because he has had the courage and the bravery to stand the test. Without testing, there is no way to be approved. So that is the answer of why God tests. Why He gives you a test. So He can approve you. And maybe that's why David in Psalm 26:2, maybe that's why he asked God to test him. He invited God to test him. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever asked God to test you? David did. Psalm 26:2, put me in the scales. This is the basic Bible English translation. Put me in the scales, O Lord, so that I may be tested. Let the fire make clean my thoughts and my heart. What I love about David and testing, he was confident. He was confident that after God searched him, after God examined him, that he would find nothing that was sinful. In Psalm 17:3, you have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Do we have that confidence this morning that David had? Confidence that when we are tested by God, all that's going to come out of us is righteousness and truth and love, kindness, forgiveness. Where does the test take place? Well, there is no limits to the testing ground of God. Every place, every single corner in our life is open to the testing of God. Your marriage, your workplace, your family relations. Oh, that could be a very big test. Family relations. But notice in this passage this morning that we are reading in Deuteronomy 13, the testing takes place within and among the covenant people. Verse 1 says very clear in Deuteronomy, among you. In other words, it takes place where? In the church. Right in the church. The church many times is going to be used by God to test His people. A crucible for testing. The church is not off limits to the testing ground of God. And He allows certain things and situations to take place among His people for the whole purpose of testing His people. Here in this case, in Deuteronomy, He permits a false prophet, a dreamer, a deceiver to exist among His people. Wow. Think about that. He allows something wicked and evil to exist among His people to test others in the church. To find out where their hearts are. He wants to see in the church who's going to remain loyal or who's going to be led astray. Who will walk and fear Him and keep His commandments or who will be deceived. The test is meant to bring out what is hidden in the heart, to make it known, to show something that otherwise would remain hidden if it weren't for the test. And this test takes place in the borders of the church, among His people. And that's something that many Christians fail to understand about church. Let me tell you something, Christians. The church is a place where God is going to test you. It's a testing ground. It's a crucible. God's holy testing ground. Do you go to church to be tested? I like what one preacher said. He said the church must be survived. That's a true statement. And what does that mean? To survive means you stay alive. To survive something means that we carry on despite hardships, despite disappointments. To survive means that we carry on despite things going not my way or the way I thought it should be. In other words, church is something that needs to be endured. You ever thought of church that way? Please keep that in your perspective on church. Because if you don't come to realize this, you might not last long in the Lord's church. I've heard excuses over the years of why people don't go to church. And they have excuses of why they quit church. Usually it's the same old storyline. They got offended. They got offended. They got their feelings hurt by what someone said or what someone did. So they got upset. They began to feel sorry for themselves. They withdrew. And they stopped coming. Please understand, and don't forget this, the church is made up of people. People. And where you have people, you will have trouble. You will have provocations. You will have miscommunications. You will have misunderstandings. We have to keep in mind that everybody in the church is at different levels of maturity. Any one of us at any point in time can receive the grace of God in vain. And we can walk according to the flesh. Manifest the carnal man. Corrupt passions that are not crucified will be manifested. And no one here this morning has reached a place of full maturity in their Christian experience. Amen? Has anybody reached their full potential? Their full maturity in Jesus Christ? I don't think so. All of us here this morning are growing. We're in a state of growth. Even the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, said that he was pressing on. He was pressing on, and he had not already attained. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." Paul had not apprehended. So we need to get this straight once and for all. Understand, mark it down, highlight it, do whatever you have to. You're going to have some trouble at church. Maybe not all the time. But if you've been here long enough and you're committed the way you should be as a member of the body of Christ, you will eventually experience trouble. That's with a T. Am I hoping it will happen? No. Am I promoting trouble? No. I hope we never have trouble. I hope everyone at all times makes an effort, a holy effort, to practice and guard their hearts and lips and walk according to the Spirit. But let us be real. Let us not live in a fantasy world. you're eventually going to have trouble at church. Trouble with people. Maybe with me. Certain expectations that you have are not met. You will get your feelings hurt or offended. There will be temptations in the church to respond and react according to your deceitful lust. We are all in a state of growth. All different personalities mixed together. All coming from different backgrounds, different cultures, raised in different ways. All of these influence to some degree our way of thinking, our behaviors, the rate of our growth in Christ. We need to have the right expectations when it comes to church. In regards to church, we need to have the right expectations. Not some fantasy land. Church is not a place to escape conflict with others. Listen to what Paul has. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. I want to talk about conflicts in the church. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, Paul says, and I'm reading from the New English Translation on this passage to bring out an emphasis. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. The word divisions means contentions. There's some strife among you. And in part, I believe it. Maybe I don't believe everything I've heard, but I do believe some of it. Because I know what church is. It's made of people. For there must, in fact, be divisions among you. So that those of you who are approved may be evident. When Paul wrote, for there must in fact be divisions among you, you know what he's really saying there? It's to be expected. It's to be expected. There are divisions among you, he said, and in part I believe it. Churches are made of people. And please listen. Something will happen. It can be expected. Somebody is going to do something they should not do. Somebody's going to say something that they don't like or you don't like. Situations are going to arise that are going to bother you. It's going to ruffle your feathers. It's going to shake your apple cart. You're going to get offended. And they're going to hurt you in that church that you go to. Imperfect people do not make a perfect church. Do you understand this morning? Are you surprised? The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you looking for an excuse to leave? To quit God? Or do you see God in it? I don't know, maybe there's someone sitting here today and they wish they were somewhere else. I don't know everybody's heart. And they're just looking for a chance to go somewhere else. I hope that's not true. God uses the church to be a place of testing. And He will test you in His church, among His people. Paul said it is to be expected. What's the purpose? Well, he tells us right here in this verse. The New English Translation says, so that those of you who are approved may be evident. The basic Bible English says, so that those of you who are approved may be evident. Same thing as the NET. Then the King James says, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And I like how the modern King James says, that the approved ones may be revealed among you. So God uses church trouble for testing. To bring forth and make evident those of you who are approved. Many times God will use situations to manifest the heart of a person. And unless that situation arises, no one would know what's inside that person's heart. Some people hide things. They're not open. They're not honest. They play the game. And they hide grudges. They hide grudges. And they hide their bitterness. And God is an expert of bringing all that stuff out. Thank God, huh? Thank you, Jesus, that you would do that. Not let us live in that stuff. Swim around in it. Enjoy it. Just as in Deuteronomy 13, so also in 1 Corinthians, God wants to see who is going to be loyal to His commandments amidst all the headbutting. Some will stand out. God permits all these things to happen in church so that those who are peacemakers, those who practice forgiveness, those who are encouragers, those who hold no grudges, all will be made manifest and approved. They will pass the test. They react properly to the test. And they pass. No matter what we do to prevent these things from happening, there will always be in church times where people are misunderstood and people get offended. No matter how we try to guard it. You've heard that before? Well, everyone just misunderstands me. So what? Everyone misunderstood Jesus. Everyone misunderstood Paul. You're in good company. People are going to say the wrong things and maybe treat you in the wrong way. This is God's test in the church. Are you going to stand out? Approved? Will you pass the test? I cannot control everything that goes on in the church, and neither can you. The question is this: are you going to survive the test of the church? Will you be approved in the test? What will it take for you? Ask yourself this question. What will it take for you to get so hurt, so offended, that you decide to quit? What would it take? What will be your response when someone offends you, defrauds you, and does something you don't like? And by the way, some people are just plain and simple, oversensitive. Oversensitive. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11:6? Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know, most of the stuff that people get offended by is so petty and so insignificant. And it can be cleared up so easily by just communicating and being honest. Some people just like to walk around as the victim, the tail between the legs syndrome. They love to be the victims. It is us and them mentality. A feeling that everyone in the church is against them. It is the church against us. If you ever get that feeling, don't believe it. It is a lie. It is a lie. You are seriously deceived and you are communing at the table of devils. Mark it down. Don't go there. Mm-mm. Please. Don't ever take on the victim spirit. It is totally, absolutely unchristian. It's antichrist. Christians, we need to make sure We don't quit God. We don't quit His church because we get hurt in some way by people. The church should not have gossip. The church, God forbid that the church should have gossip. The church should not have slander. It should not have backbiting. But you know what? We're going to have it. Going to have it. Hopefully to a small degree. Christians walk in the flesh. And sometimes you and I will walk in the flesh. You're going to run into this stuff in the church, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've been here long enough, you know what I'm talking about. You will have times where people do weird things in the church. You're like, weird, that's really weird. Proverbs 21:8 says, the way of man is strange. The Bible tells you already that we're strange people. Our ways are strange. We're strange. Jesus said in Luke 17:1, He said to His disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. He says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. I guarantee you, if you've been here long enough, committed the way you should be, you've probably already been offended one or two times, rubbed the wrong way, shook your head about a few things, scratched your head about a few things. If you've never been offended here or are hurt, maybe you haven't been long enough. You need to be here a little longer. But let me say this. It's good to get our feelings hurt. It's good to get a little offended. Who do we think we are? How else are we going to grow up out of babyhood and be strong Christians with thick skin? You got to get hurt. You got to get hurt. If you really want to grow up in the Lord, you need to learn to get hurt and get healed. Get offended and let it go. Get over it. That's part of growing up. Learning to deal with people that are different than you is part of spiritual maturity. And there are a lot of us here that are different than each other. Amen? In closing this morning, mark it down. God is going to test you in the church. He did it to the nation of Israel, and He will do it in the body of Jesus Christ. The question we have to ask, are you going to be people-focused? Are you going to be God-focused? The test will come. It will come. Someone or something is going to come along and rub you the wrong way, offend you, and hurt your feelings. Your expectations are going to be disappointed. Maybe you will feel a little neglected. Feel a little neglected. Overlooked at some point. Maybe you'll not like what I teach. You're going to have troubles in the church. So what are we going to do about it? You know, unity in the church takes labor on our part, even to the point when it feels uncomfortable. Getting offended is part of growing up. It's not about holding grudges and harboring bitterness and animosity toward each other. It's time to stand out approved, to love, to forgive, to respond with kindness, to be patient toward one another. Learn to let things go. Let me ask you the question this morning. What are your expectations in regards to church? You know how much you get out of church really depends greatly upon your attitude when you come to church. Really. What you get out of church depends greatly on your attitude when you come to church. Church must be survived. You must survive it. Are you surviving? Are you being approved by God by your actions? Or do you reveal immaturity and a self-seeking spirit? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for the opportunity to share this message. Lord, a dose for all of us of healthy biblical reality that there is trouble in Your church. And Lord, we're going to be faced many times with situations that, oh, why am I facing this in the church? And Lord, we have to see the perspective that You are a testing God. That You test us in the church. Are we here for people or are we here for the Lord? We pray, God, that You would help us to see this more than ever. Help us to be a holy church. Help us not to use this as an excuse to sin and to rub each other the wrong way. God forbid that we would ever do that. But there is a truth. That all of us have a tendency sometimes to walk in the flesh, to respond in the flesh, to hear things in the flesh, to get offended when we should not, to get hurt feelings. We pray, God, that You would help us, Lord, to respond correctly, to be the ones that stand out, that are approved in the midst of all the different divisions and conflicts that we might have in the church. Bless our unity more than ever, God. Help us love one another, serve one another, and care for one another, just as You did, Lord, to Your disciples and taught us how to love. We ask Your blessing on this message in Jesus' name. Amen.